Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
I'm seeking your advice on a recent incident involving one of our delivery drivers. He was using his phone while driving and hit a pedestrian, who thankfully survived. We could view this as gross misconduct, but the driver is disputing it, saying it wasn't that bad.
So it's a really interesting situation where you can have identical conduct, but depending on the context, it's whether or not it's then a conduct issue. Sometimes accidents do happen, but there were that many instances in here of one, not only that dishonesty, but also, you know, the fact that he clearly was at fault here, that no, this is serious enough for gross misconduct. Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
We're back in the red seats for HRER.
We are indeed. I'm Alyssa Thursfield.
I'm Ollie Robinson. We've got another scorcher here for you using our brand new titling ChatGPT system.
Check us out using AI at work.
Man, we're down. Yeah.
In line with our policy, obviously, on AI usage.
Yes, which I've read.
Which you've read.
Of course. This has happened before, hasn't it? Where you were like, you haven't read that policy? I was like, yeah, I have. Anyway, the title of this one, Dialed In, Switched Off, The Cost of a Call Behind the Wheel.
Mm. So this one could have had really catastrophic consequences. So I think just as kind of a trigger warning disclaimer, no one died.
Okay.
So we're good. Right. No one died.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For our more squeamish listeners. We'll crack on with the email. Hi, Alyssa. I'm seeking your advice on a recent incident involving one of our delivery drivers. He was using his phone while driving and hit a pedestrian, who thankfully survived. We could view this as gross misconduct, but the driver is disputing it, saying it wasn't that bad. Could you advise on whether our classification is appropriate and the best way to proceed, please?
I think the detail is probably missing here that I kind of got in the follow-up, because I read this email twice and was like, are you joking? Am I being asked if hitting a pedestrian whilst on the phone is
at
gross
work.
Misconduct or not? At work.
Regardless.
Which is, you know, when we think about gross misconduct, we're like stealing, violence in the workplace, running over a pedestrian with a work vehicle.
It's up there, eh?
It's pretty much up there. Mm. The detail that was missing from here that they hadn't included was he wasn't accepting that he was on the phone. So he was saying, pedestrian jumped out, nothing I could do. So innocent accidents do happen. Mm-hmm. You know, people do step out without looking. Sometimes it is unavoidable when these things happen. He was disputing that it was his fault initially. But that will all kind of unfold as we get through this scenario.
We'll start with the employer perspective as ever. If a delivery driver is caught using their phone while driving and injures a pedestrian, is that automatically considered gross misconduct?
It's very serious conduct. Not only one, is using your phone behind the wheel illegal? You know, this is well embedded now. I remember when the laws first came in around mobile phone use behind the wheel, and people were like, how am I ever going to get anything done? Of course it's acceptable to pick the phone up.
I need to hustle.
Yeah, you know, it was quite a common thing. And now it's almost shocking. It's a bit like smoking in a restaurant.
If someone lit up
at a table next to you, you'd be like, what are you doing? Like, what planet are you on? And I remember when the smoking ban came in, you were like, this is going to shut restaurants, it's going to shut clubs. Yeah. No one's going to go out again if you can't smoke inside. Now, you're horrified if you see someone light up inside. It was the same with the mobile phone ban. And people were like, that's everyone's going to lose their driver's license. Everybody. Nobody is going to be able to not pick their phone up. God. Whereas now, if you're in the car with someone and they pick up the phone and take a call, you're like, what are you doing?
That's dangerous.
You judge
them, don't you?
It makes me feel really uneasy. Mm. And I used to do it before it was a law. Mm-hmm. I used to do it.
Like actual
phone. I mean, if my parents had caught me, that's it, car keys would have been gone. For them, it was always dangerous whether it was against the law or not. But yeah, now if I'm in the car and you see someone pick the phone up driving, you're like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you?
I seen a guy go around the roundabout on the way here in like a Ford Fiesta with like it there.
And you look at them, don't you? You're like, they might as well be driving with a can of Stella in their hand.
Yeah, shame.
You know, it's that kind of, you give them the look where you're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
I think I even did that on the way past.
Are you disregarding the lives of everybody around you because you're on your mobile
phone?
Selfish,
yeah,
and it is. And it's become that kind of embedded, I think, in our, not only because it's the law, but our attitudes have very much changed towards it. So I think, yes, if we have got someone who is just caught using their phone, whether or not they cause an accident or something happens, they run a red light or they're caught speeding, using your phone alone is often considered enough for misconduct. So I think you can get points for it if you're caught just doing that anyway. Regardless of whether or not you know, you cause an incident through your phone use. So phone use alone, yes, potentially a misconduct issue. If it's in a work vehicle, especially, if someone's outside of work but they don't have a driving role, so say you've got someone who is, I don't know, your job. You're doing what you do, whatever you do, Ollie. So someone is doing your job and you get done for using your phone behind the wheel and say it tips you over on the points and you lose your license. But actually, I don't know about it for a while. One, because I'm never in the office. And two, because you can get the bus to work, assuming that you can.
I can't, but
well, no, say that you can for the purpose of this scenario.
I can.
Or you get a taxi or you get your neighbour to drive you or whatever. But actually, it doesn't impact your role. Do I care that you've lost your driver's license? As long as it's not all over social media with hero's employee loses driver's license.
Is it like a business image type thing again?
I'd probably at some point have a word with you and go, mate, sort yourself out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
What are you doing here?
Driver's license is a privilege, not a right.
Would you have a go at me as a boss or
probably
as like a
not.
Person?
Probably not. No, I think it would just kind of be a, well, it's your own fault, mate.
Shame on you type
thing.
Shame on you.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Touch wood that I never lose mine.
God, if you do now.
I live in the middle of nowhere. I'm stuffed.
Oh, you're finished. You're
mine,
so finished if you lose your license.
For me, it's like COVID all over again. I'm never leaving the house. For me to get to the nearest large supermarket would cost me 30 quid and a taxi.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, finished, literally, yeah, if I lose my driver's
license.
Can't
even eat.
It would also destroy my marriage because he'd have to drive me everywhere. Anyway, beside the point. If it's not directly work-related, I don't care. If, however, you were our door-to-door hero salesman and you were driving business-to-business, knocking on doors with your posters and your laptop ready to kind of, go and out there and sell. We don't do that, by the way. If anyone comes knocking on your door saying they're from Heroes, send them away. It's a
fraud.
It's not us. I'd have something to say about it in that situation, even if you haven't lost your license, because it directly affects your role. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, I might be sitting down with you and saying, right, Ollie, you've got 9 points now. You get 3 more, you can lose your license. You could potentially lose your job because if you cannot do your role anymore, what am I going to get you to do if I can't send you door to door in your car? Mm-hmm. So if it's a work-related vehicle, yes, likely to be gross, likely to misconduct if you're using your phone without even an incident.
Okay.
If it's personal time and actually your role isn't driving related, do I care? Probably not. I might question your judgment, but do I care about it being work-related? Probably not. Probably not going to be misconduct. So it's a really interesting situation where you can have identical conduct, but depending on the context, it's whether or not it's then a conduct issue. So it almost feels like double standards. Where then, though, you've got someone where they've done something like that and then it's caused an incident, it's one of those aggravating factors. So when we've talked about that disciplinary decider, when we did the clever thing and we had the screen here and we did it all, it was cool.
My mum gave us props for that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I love Ollie's mum feedback. That you're a bit deflated this morning. I feel like you're taking this feedback to heart this time.
Yeah. Some of it's like, it does critique me a bit. She made a joke saying like, oh, maybe she can come on next time. I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so. No, that's not
how did you break your mother's heart, Ollie?
I think that would be exaggerating.
Right.
I don't know. Like, ruined a day.
If your mum comes on, my brothers aren't going to want to come on, and that's just...
Family special!
We do on the same episode, it'll just be chaos. Anyway, but when we did... I digress. When we did the disciplinary decider, we talked about mitigating and aggravating factors. Mm-hmm. Aggravating means things that make things worse. So what is making the situation more serious? So if you've got someone who's breached company and policy and the law by using their phone behind the wheel, aggravating, it's caused an incident where a member of the public has been involved and been injured or whatever. That is... One, they've injured someone, but two, that is going to potentially affect company reputation, particularly if you've got the company name plastered on the side of the van. Someone's got a mobile phone out, it's been sent to the local newspaper, whatever, it's all over social media. That's aggravating. We are more likely to be getting into gross misconduct territory then.
Okay.
Particularly, actually, no, I'm going to say, you drive behind the wheel with a mobile phone on a company-related stuff, you hit a pedestrian, probably going to be gross misconduct.
You'd be gone within a month, aren't you? Not even that, like on the day.
But that's a really, really good question, is when we've got something that's super serious.
Yeah, can cut immediately.
And in this one, they go, can I dismiss instantly? It's still no.
4 weeks, jobby.
Well, not even 4 weeks, but we've still got to invite them to a disciplinary hearing, hear their side of it, put the allegations to them, and then get an outcome. We could probably do that in under a week.
Right.
But we're probably going to suspend them.
What if a CCTV of a missing person went on the phone?
We've still got to go through a procedure. And I do. I get exactly the same questions from employees. They go, but we've got him red-handed.
Got it all.
We've got it all red-handed. Everything. We know. But then in this situation, we didn't know.
Oh.
Because he was still denying.
Right.
He was denying it was his fault. So then we have more to uncover with this one, because even though we think, you know, we've got company van, call records are tying up, so it looks like he was on the phone at the time the incident happened, but there was a piece of evidence missing, which we're going to uncover.
Okay. Second sort of question. I'm going to tie the next two together. Could employers face prosecution if an employee hits someone with a car? And should employers suspend staff immediately?
So what we're talking about there, if an employer is going to face prosecution, it's vicarious liability. So where an employer, essentially, because of something an employee does, the employer takes responsibility.
Do they take it away from the employee?
So if something is done during the course of somebody's duties and they're under the instruction of their employer, okay, the employer will generally be held responsible.
Right.
So there's this umbrella liability that then kind of protects an employee. Mm-hmm. And where we see this quite a lot, is they're actually in discrimination proceedings. So an individual doesn't have to just sue a company.
Right.
You can sue someone personally for discrimination. Okay. So say if I said something horrific to you that was sex discrimination. Mm-hmm. So say I'm picking on your haircut.
Again.
No, that's
She doesn't really.
I don't do that.
She doesn't really.
You could sue Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could sue Heroes and me.
Or you
could just sue me.
Okay.
If I could make the argument that I was, in the course of my duties, we podcast, you know, there is an acceptable level of insider joke that you have agreed to, that you've now mm-hmm. changed your mind about. So we're not going down the banter route. We're saying this is all kind of agreed.
Insider joke.
You know,
terminology.
That it's part and parcel of my duties to take the mickey out of your hair, okay, and that's accepted. This is a terrible example.
Yeah, but we'll go with it.
But then I would say it's a corporate responsibility.
Okay.
So, and often what will happen in proceedings is a company will go, you know what, particularly in situations where, you know, we're talking about things like performance management and things like that, they'll go, you know, the management was acting on our instruction to do a performance management procedure. The company is going to take responsibility and fight this.
Right.
If you've got someone who's acted outside of company policy, so the key one here is sexual harassment. If we've trained our staff and said, do not behave in this way,
mm-hmm.
and then a manager goes and does it anyway, so they commit sexual harassment, and the employee sues the business and the manager, the business might go, washing our hands of this.
We trained you. Yeah, we did
that. We told you not to do it. That was not in the course of your duties. Mm-hmm. You are taking the hit for this personally. So that's why the training's really important.
Absolve yourself of all the
Well, it grief. Helps you to absolve yourself. So,
okay. Yes,
in a situation where you've got someone who's acting in the course of their duties, it could well be that the company takes liability. And it may well be the company insurance in a situation where you've got an RTA, that it's a company responsibility. If you've got an employee in a work vehicle, not during working hours, but they're using it for personal use, probably not. That's probably going to come down to individual responsibility. But again, often with vehicles and vehicle accidents, it's an insurance issue over whose insurance is going to get claimed on. But yeah, to answer your question, it could be vicarious liability and the company takes responsibility, or depending on the situation, it could be the employee. Now, what unfolded with this one, and as I said at the beginning, what they kind of missed out from their email is that he was denying responsibility, saying it wasn't my fault, it was an accident. Actually, it was the individual who was at fault in this situation for stepping out. All of these vehicles were fitted with front and rear facing dash cams.
Inside
facing. Oh. So cab facing to capture the driver.
Oh, heck.
And outside facing.
Were the drivers made aware of that? Did they know?
Yeah, they know they're there. They know they're there because they have to put the they have to turn them on at the beginning and calibrate them or whatever, you know, to make sure the date and time's correct on them.
Yeah,
sometimes, and it happens, again, digress, I'm really good at tangents today. When I get, say my house gets a power cut, my ground source heating system, the clock doesn't reset itself. So it thinks, so say my power goes off for 3 hours, the heating comes back on. It's like, woohoo, it's 3 in the afternoon. It's not, it's 6, which means then you have a cold shower because it doesn't think it's 8 o'clock at night and that I need a shower. It still thinks it's earlier in the day. I have to go in, recalibrate the time, you know, because I'm techie like that.
You are techie like that.
I can reset the clock on my ground source
don't
heating.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
They had to do that with the cameras, turn them on, date, time, whatever. Because if there's an incident, they want the timestamps to make sure. Because there's nothing worse than, you know, old digital cameras. I mean, is this a reference that you're going to get?
Try me. Go on.
Digital camera, when you take a picture, they used to get the timestamp on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Often
the
in the corner.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And sometimes they would just go 00001195, which would be midnight, the 1st of January, 95.
If you like reset it sort of thing.
Yeah. So often, if you hadn't set the date or time on it, obviously, your phone does it automatically. It's a bit like your kitchen cooker. If you don't set the clock, it doesn't know what time
it
is.
It flashes, doesn't it? Yeah. If you have a power cut, I've seen
that. So that's the point. They had monitoring policies in place. They had the dash cam policies in place. Everything was above board in that sense. Employees knew they were there because when they get in the vehicle, one of the first things they do, calibrate the date and the time. Mm-hmm. Off they go. The interior facing camera was missing. So these are fixed into the vehicles. External one, we can see it. Okay. There's no sound on them because obviously, you know, if someone's using the hands-free to talk to their wife or whatever while they're driving, that's fine, or singing along to the radio, it's seen as a bit more intrusive. Mm-hmm. So no sound. And we see the incident happen. We see the pedestrian gets hit by the vehicle. It seems like there was enough stopping time for this vehicle. So then we're thinking, right, interior camera's needed. Go to the vehicle, interior camera's gone.
What do you mean gone?
It's not there.
The camera had been taken physically out of the vehicle.
The employee claimed that, I can't remember if he said that it wasn't there when he got in the car or that someone had stolen it at the site of the accident. One way, his story kind of changed. Unfortunately for the employee in this situation, the camera wasn't an SD camera. It didn't have an SD card. It was cloud-based.
Oh, dear.
So
I'm techie, so I know what that means.
You're techie, so you know what it means. What it means is that with the employer, they didn't need to take the camera out and get the SD card. So when they realised the camera was missing, they log into the cloud and they look at the last footage that was taken and they see the employee's hand coming towards the camera as he rips it off. And then obviously we don't see him chucking it out the window. But
so had
really he
ripped
done.
It off after he'd hit the person?
After he'd hit the person, he ripped the camera off.
What a silly man.
Stupid man.
Stupid. What did he expect to happen?
Well, he thought there was an SD card in it, didn't he?
Ah.
So he thought,
he's not techie.
He's not techie. So he thought by ripping the camera off that it would hide the fact that he was on the phone. And he was. Mm. So we log into the cloud, and obviously they've seen the hand coming towards the camera at the end. So wind it back. He's on the phone at the time of the collision. So he not only has he lied and said, well, it wasn't my fault, she just stepped out.
It's the face company property.
Yeah, I love how that's like, your face is like, how dare you? I mean, he's also run a pedestrian over.
It's probably the worst thing, isn't it?
It's probably the worst.
He ripped a camera out of a van.
He's ripped a camera out of a van. You can tell you're more techie than me. He's like, what about the camera?
The money.
He's ripped the camera out of the van. He's lied about it. He's lied about being on the phone. And the accident clearly was his fault. So then we've absolutely got this guy banged to rights.
Now we've got him. Right.
Gross misconduct. And it's one of those situations where if we dismissed on the day, so when you were asking me the question, can we just get rid of this guy?
Yeah.
If we hadn't done the further investigation, even if he had been able to establish some sort of unfair procedural, unfair dismissal, he might not have been awarded any compensation. A judge may well find, look, you'd have been dismissed in any event had they followed a fair procedure. We could still potentially get dragged through the court and have to pay legal fees. Yes, we might warn as to cost. We might get them. We might not. It takes a year to get to tribunal, all the management time, blah, 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 blah. The selling point here is we don't want to be dragged to tribunal. So for the sake of maybe 3 or 4 days of doing the procedure properly, let's suspend him. Let's get the evidence. Let's get him banged to rights so that we can make that dismissal so much more solid.
Stack your evidence.
And I will often say to them, say, okay, look, I can understand why you want this person gone now. But for the sake of 2 or 3 days, do you really want to spend the next 2 years in court?
That's why you said to me at the start, like, hold on.
Yeah, we just hold on. We can suspend him. You know, for the sake of an extra couple of days' pay, we're not rewarding bad behaviour.
No.
So we might suspend immediately. Okay. We've got to think about why we're suspending. If it's that we think there's a concern he's going to destroy evidence, we could suspend. If we think there's a concern over reoffending, we could suspend. if we think he might try and influence people or, you know, hassle or threaten someone not to give witness evidence against him, we now have to be able to justify suspension. We used to be able to just be able to say, actually, we want you off the premises. We're investigating. Knee-jerk reaction, you're suspended. We now have to be able to explain why we've suspended someone. It could be because the conduct is so serious. We think, you know what, you're in a driving-related role. Until we get to the bottom of this, we don't think we can put you in a vehicle until we've decided one way or another what's happened. We're not prejudging it, but just to kind of let everyone calm down, mm-hmm. just so we can get to the bottom of it, we're going to pay you and ask you to stay at home.
Right.
But we have to justify why we're suspending. And it's a step that people are still missing when they're doing this. It's, this is really serious. We must get him off the premises.
So when you're on a tribunal, you have to justify to the judge why you initially suspended them.
Yes, because if you've done it as a knee-jerk reaction because something's serious, that could look like you've predetermined it.
Right,
I've already decided this is so serious and that you've done it that I want you gone.
Right.
Whereas if it's, so I can do a fair investigation, so I can interview people without you being in the building and people feeling awkward, so mm-hmm. I know that evidence can't be interfered with, to allow you time to prepare for a disciplinary hearing. You're being paid. We haven't made any decisions. But actually, that suspension letter can be quite long when we're explaining what other alternatives perhaps we've looked at. Is there another role we can put you in for now where you're away from people so you can still do a job, you can still be working? We've got to go through these steps. And it's something that we covered on one of our webcasts. It was actually a really well-attended one. And I think it's one of the freebies that was most requested, I think, was our checklist and the letter, the template letter that we do for suspension. Because it's something that people still are a bit like, oh, but I know I want him gone. But they struggle to articulate how to say it without saying that they think they're guilty.
That checklist was like a little tick box.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure people go through the right processes during the whole...
Yeah. Yeah,
not
and,
missing any of this.
And in the software, we have a whole page that would say, do you want to suspend this person? And there's like, woof, there's all this information that we present in our guidance about, right, if you're suspending, this is what you need to think about.
You wrote it all.
I did write it all.
You wrote it all.
And we've got a whole page on it mm-hmm. in that guidance and then the template letter in there as well.
The writing confuses me a lot of the time because it's written in a bit of legal and, you know, the words I don't understand, but it is...
You're selling this, Ollie.
I am.
Anyone's supposed to be able to understand our guidance.
I'm techie, though. I'm not lying, I know. Yeah, some of it goes over my head, despite the knowledge you've bestowed upon me throughout our time here. Some of it does go over my head still. We've just about got some time for employee perspective now. So this guy, imagine he's saying this. No one was killed. Can this incident be treated as a serious mistake rather than gross misconduct?
Had he not been on the phone, had he not lied, had he not destroyed company property, there's a lot of what ifs here.
There's like four.
Possibly, if, you know, the woman had stepped out right off his bumper, then yeah, you know, we'd be saying, well, there's no fault. Equally, sometimes accidents do happen, but there were that many instances in here of one, not only that dishonesty, but also, you know, the fact that he clearly was at fault here. That no, this is serious enough for gross misconduct.
How many coincidences can happen before it's not a coincidence?
And often, you know, if you look back through pods, when we talk about things like gross misconduct, where the line is it enough for dismissal? You'll often get me kind of hedging my bets a little bit, going, well, it's fact dependent, it could be, it couldn't be. No, this is gross misconduct.
Yeah, you tend to like, you not fence it, but you're quite...
Yeah, I know, because it's, everything is fact dependent. It depends on,
cautious.
You know, yeah, it's... Not you don't know which way a judge is going to go. There are some instances where gross misconduct really clearly is, but there can be mitigating factors. There can be things that can influence the decision. This instance is that much lying. There's that much of attempt to cover things up and he's injured a member of the public and the company name is splashed across the side of the van. No, it's gross misconduct. This guy's going. He's losing his job and we're not paying him any notice. And no, he's not getting a reference.
I mean, that was my initial sort of knee-jerk reaction, as you can probably see if you rewind the minutes and what have you. But
rewind?
Yes.
Rewinding and digital cameras, while we really are going vintage today.
We are. Second question. If this goes on my employment record, am I required to disclose it to future employers and could it impact my future chances of getting another job?
My favourite question.
Yeah.
This is my favourite question. There is no such thing as an employee record.
Absolutely blew my socks off.
It doesn't exist. And so many people think this is a thing. They think that there's like, you know what I think of? I mean, you wouldn't have had this because maybe you're a little bit too young.
Go on.
Is when you were at school, you had the red folder, which was your record of achievement. And there's going to be people listening to this going, yes, I had one of those. And
right.
I thought that if I didn't do my Duke of Edinburgh, no one would ever employ me. Because whenever you had a certificate, whether it was for your swimming or whether it's for this, whatever it was, it went in your national record. And that at any point, anyone could demand this thing from you.
How old were you at this point?
13, 14.
Okay, very serious.
Very serious. I went to a high-performing school. This was very serious stuff. That you thought that any job you went to, actually, you know what, if you got pulled over at the side of the road, yes, officer, here is my record of national achievement.
I can swim.
I can, you know, here are my GCSEs, here are everything I've ever done that I think is impressive. And you were, it was literally drilled in. This is your future in this folder. And then I think they got rid of them the year after.
Oh.
I think the year below me at school didn't have them. And you thought you'd have to carry this thing from job to job to show, look, here are my exam results and here is my history. A bit like your criminal record that follows you everywhere.
That is real, isn't it?
That is real. Your employment record doesn't exist.
I thought the two were like cohabitate.
Went hand in hand.
Yeah. I thought they cohabitated.
No, there's no such thing. The exception being, I think if you're in regulated financial services, so if you're done for like insider trading.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Wolf of Wall Street
fraud
style.
And that, yeah.
And I think also potentially in the care industry, you know, if you're involved in the care of human beings and you do stuff that's not great, there's an obligation in some sectors to provide references. So it forces that employee record.
I know you can get flagged for breach of DBS checks. Is that right?
But your DBS is different. So that's linked to your criminal record, isn't it? So an employer can't ring the DBS and go, I fired Jason for speaking inappropriately to his secretary. That's not going to go on your DBS record unless the police have been informed or, you know, things like that. So your employment record doesn't exist. So if you were to leave us tomorrow, Ollie, and you go to a new company, I'm not going to ring them up and say, what format would you like Ollie's employment record in?
Yeah,
would you like me to package it up and send it in the post or would you like it in a PDF?
In my head, there's this massive database.
No such thing. Our entire employment record rests on references.
Right.
Which I could give, I might not give. I might go, yeah, he worked for us in this role on these dates. Or it might be, actually, no, I don't want to give a reference because I don't want to.
Can you dispel a myth for me on these?
Yeah.
I've not asked this before, ever. I was told that employers can only really comment on your timekeeping on references.
Not true. Myth.
Right, okay.
So an employer can give a full and detailed reference if they want to.
Right, okay.
The reluctance comes.
I think hesitancy is a word,
Reluctance comes from what has kind of come over the Atlantic, which is a litigious environment, which is where if you get an employee who realises they've had a very bad and detailed reference, that they will potentially bring legal action against their former employer to say, because you've said untruths about me, I now can't get a job. Reference litigation is actually relatively rare, but people hear enough stories about it that employers get quite nervous then about what they're prepared to commit to writing.
Right.
So
it's almost not worth the time.
So sometimes they'll just go, you know what, Joe Bloggs worked for us from this date to this date. This was his salary. This was the role he had. He left on this date. We're not prepared to give you any more details.
It's just data.
That's just kind of it.
Right, okay.
What you'll then sometimes get is a phone number at the bottom, and it's like, if you want more details, pick the phone up so that we can talk off the record about what this troublemaker did.
Is that what that means? Generally speaking.
Sometimes. If someone goes out under a settlement agreement, there'll be an agreed reference.
Right,
so,
okay.
You know, clue, they all look the same. You can spot a settlement agreement reference.
Format.
A mile off, which means someone's been paid to leave. It could just be they've had a redundancy situation where they've had a bit of an enhancement and they've been given one, but often the reference will then say redundancy and they're prepared to go into a bit more detail
if
in the agreed
like
reference. But if it's very much da-da-da-da-da, this standard, yeah, very sus, you're like, ha, you've been paid off. So yeah, it's a myth that you only confirm that. You can give a more full reference if you want to, but you need to be able to stand by what you say. So in this situation, I would be quite confident for the employer on a reference request to say, this person was dismissed for using their phone behind the wheel, destroying company property to cover it up, and hitting a pedestrian. Because we have video footage of it.
Receipts.
If he took us to court
to say,
I didn't get a job because of this, we'd go, well, here is the video evidence of precisely what you did, mate. So you can, but people do feel that, and it's weird, people feel really confident to dismiss somebody, end their employment, but then not to tell anyone else about what they've done.
It's strange.
It's really,
very strange.
Really odd.
I'm shouting from the
rooftops.
But
yeah, it's one of my favourite myths is, am I going to get in trouble with everyone I've ever worked for this? It's where you get an employee who, in a gross misconduct situation, will say, look, it's fine. You can dismiss me. I'll take the sanction. I'll go quietly. But please don't put it on my employment record. And the employer goes, okay, we won't. It's just like there's no such thing.
You're just farming good karma.
You are. You're just good going, karma. Yeah, we won't. Don't worry. Yes. Okay.
We'll look after you.
Yeah. Yeah. You. If you go quietly, we won't put it on your employment record. You. There's no such thing. It's
you
a myth.
Sneaky buggers.
It's, yeah, honestly. It's hilarious.
We have got a bonus question from, we've spoken about it. It's my good friend, Charlie Gray. He's in Italy at the minute. I went to school with him. I thought it was funny. When I read it first, I think it was Dawn, you read it and you thought it was a good question, that. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Fire away.
If an employee was participating in a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire quiz, and upon winning the £1 million prize, the employee stands up, runs out the room, screaming, "I'm a millionaire, I don't need you anymore," how should the employer react? What is an acceptable sanction?
So, we're talking sanction. Is it misconduct?
To me, I think that's all right.
I wouldn't say it's misconduct. If he ran out the room going, "You're all..."
Swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"Never want to spend another minute with you. You're this, you're that, you're this, and rah-rah-rah," you know, and gives it all this.
Gives it big, and yeah.
That's probably going to be misconduct, particularly if they then have to come crawling back and go, "I didn't mean any of it. I thought I was a millionaire." So probably not misconduct. So it's probably not going to be a sanction. Potentially a welfare chat.
Just to see how they're doing.
Are you all right?
In the red and that, yeah.
But also if someone's naive enough to think that we're really playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire at work, might be a capability conversation.
Yeah,
I don't
why are
know.
They
like,
in the room?
You fell for this rather quickly. So no, it's probably not a misconduct situation. It's probably going to be acutely embarrassing for the employee more than anything.
It sounds it.
Yeah, but it's probably not going to be something that we discipline them for.
There you go, Charles. Thank you for that, mate. Appreciate that. Keep them coming, mate. Should we do like a pod on displacing common workplace myths?
Yeah, I think we could do something on that.
The employee record thing, yeah. The reference thing. Like, yeah. I've heard loads, yeah. Just from sort of.
And I think the employee record thing. I can see it now. There's going to be employees everywhere going, "No, she's ruined it.
Our secret's out.
No, everyone's going to know." It's all right. Only about 5 people listen to this anyway.
I was 30. It was last week when I found that out.
Yeah.
Last week I was 31 years old when I found that out, which is
your employee record's not a thing.
That's crazy, man. Not the whole world's a lie. anyway, more positive affirmations. Have you got any final thoughts on today's episode?
No, I think it's just, you know, what we've touched on, making sure that our policies are up to date on what we think is gross misconduct. If we are doing anything like monitoring, tracking, where we've got cameras and things like that around employees, making sure that our policies reflect it and what we're using them for. And also when we have the super, super, super serious situations, making sure we still have that disciplinary hearing, we still follow those steps. We can do this quickly and efficiently, but we've got to follow a process. Otherwise,
take a step back.
Yeah. Remember, employees not only can fight an outcome, they're entitled to find that there's been a procedurally unfair dismissal. They have been procedurally unfairly dismissed. So let's not give that. It's an easy win. So let's not give them that. Follow the procedure. Keep it nice and tight.
You're telling them what to do. These employees. What's going on?
So no, that's it from me on this one.
Good. Solid nuggets of knowledge there. Thank you. Thank you for watching, everyone. Like, comment, subscribe. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.